May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033.
Thank you. We will read three short passages from God's holy word. We will begin again with the text that we took this morning and read then on to the following verses. So we took this morning 1 Kings chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. We will read on until the 26th verse. Then we will read Psalms 23 and 46. 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 21. And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple. He set up the right pillar, and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set up the left pillar, and called the name thereof Boaz. And upon the top of the pillars was lily work. So was the work of the pillars finished. And he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. It was round all about, and his height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. And under the brim of it round about there were knops compassing it, 10 in a cubit, compassing the sea round about. The knops were cast in 2 rows when it was cast. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, and 3 looking toward the west, and 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. And the sea was set above upon them, and all their hinder parts were inward. It was an handbreadth thick, and the brim thereof was wrought like the brim of a cup, with flowers of lilies. It contained 200 baths. Now let us read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we'll turn to finally read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. May the Lord now help us in prayer. We do pray now that thou wouldst once more help us this day as we come before thee in worship. Well, we do beg that thou mightest draw near to us. Draw us and we will run after thee. Do grant that we may feed beside those still waters. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest reveal thyself by the Spirit. Oh, that there may be that precious communion with thee this night as we meet around thy word. Oh Lord, may we meet around more than just the paper and the ink. That, oh Lord, might we in the Spirit meet in union and communion with thee, O Lord Jesus, who art the incarnate word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, it is our precious privilege that by the Spirit we may know that fellowship one with another. That we may know thee whom to know is life eternal. O Lord, we do beg that thou mightest come down according to thy precious promises, by the Spirit, that there may be that communion with thee this night. O Lord, look in mercy, for we are vile sinners. Our hearts meditate upon so many evil things. The old man of sin is so active, alas. O Lord, do subdue that vile nature within us. Do create in us a clean heart, renew in us a right spirit, that we may be enabled to meditate upon the beauties of thy redemption, O Lord Jesus Christ, the beauties of thy person, O Lord. Oh, we may look and live, that we may look and be strengthened in the way, that thou mightest stretch forth thy hand and take us to thyself, thou mightest bear us along, carry us through. No, Lord, we do pray for that light upon the Scriptures. O Lord, our eyes are so often darkened, benighted. O Lord, do shine into our souls. Do grant us that light to see the way that we should go. Do open up the way before us, we pray, according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And, O Lord, we thank thee that thy word does, by the Spirit, shed forth that light on the way that we should go. Nor may we venture in faith, although we see not the whole way in front of us. Yet this we know, if there is that light upon the steps before us, may we by faith walk in them, knowing that thou wilt lighten the path before us as we yet walk. Oh, what precious promises these are, that thou wilt be with thy people. Thou wilt guide them in the way everlasting. To undertake for any that are sick, any that are unable to be here, we know of a number of thy people taken ill at this time. Some known to us, some related to those here. O Lord, we do particularly remember the churches at Barrow and at Grove, where one has been taken the last day or two so badly ill. And O Lord, for those that are in hospital, in great pain or affliction, O Lord, do undertake for them and their partners in life, and any other that has been in that pathway of deep affliction or bereavement or sorrow, do, O Lord, undertake for them, support them, that they may yet in the midst of the trial, like John, be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And, O Lord, we do pray that we may be ready. We may watch unto prayer, for we know not what a day may bring. And, O Lord, we do pray in mercy that thou mightest help and favour us in the way. Oh, we do pray that thou mightest grant that we may walk circumspectly, not presumptuously. For who knows what will come at the end of even this day. But may we be found watching, waiting for thine appearing. Oh, that we may be found walking with thee, not with the devil or the world. Walking in the truth, not in error. But, O Lord, do help and uphold thine afflicted people and those that care for them, those that are unable to come to thy house but would be here if they could, those that could be here but have not a desire to be here. Many affairs, many lusts, many cares and concerns have taken the precedent, have had the preeminence in their hearts. Such were some of us, such would be us, but for thy grace and mercy. Oh, we do pray that thou mightest come by thine almighty hand. And, O Lord, grant there may be that desire, that necessity, on account of their sins, on account of thy holiness, on account of thy goodness, that thou art the Saviour, the only way of salvation, that on account of these things that they may desire once more to come to thy house, to seek thee and to worship thee. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest help our brethren the deacons here in their responsibilities, in the choosing of the hymns, in the affairs and the management of the affairs of thy house, that thou wouldst grant them all needed wisdom and strength. Thou hast grant thy favour upon this church and congregation, that they may be built up in the most holy faith, according to thy word. And, O Lord, that which we pray here, we pray for each of thy true churches, or there may be that turning unto thee. Oh, we need, how needful in this land, that outpouring of the Spirit, to grant us a true revival in the midst. O Lord, do deliver us. For, O Lord, the enemy has come within, yea, within our own hearts, is rampant in the camp. O Lord, do grant us that grace to stand, and when having done all to stand, we may not turn the back and flee. We may take hold of the whole armour of God, the sword of the Spirit. May we be valiant for the truth. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant thy sending forth of more labourers into the vineyard to proclaim the everlasting truths in the gospel. There may be a raising up of more labourers, the strengthening of thy servants that are aged and afflicted, oh, that they may be upheld. Each one that labours, we do pray that thou wouldst favour them where they are labouring, in word and in doctrine. And, O Lord, though the word may be given in much bodily weakness, may the word come with the power of the Spirit. But although we may be called fools, O Lord, do keep us from preaching foolishness. Though men may esteem it the foolishness of preaching, yet may we be delivered from preaching none other but the truth in Jesus. So, Lord, we do beg that thou mightest grant that building up in the churches, that granting of pastors according to thine own heart. And, O Lord, do look in mercy, we pray. We do beg that thou wouldst bless the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society, the sending forth of the uncorrupted word to the four corners of this earth. O Lord, that thou wouldst bless the church throughout this world, especially the churches that meet amidst affliction, disease, poverty, persecution, those of thy people that cannot meet, the ones and the twos that are scattered, that cannot meet together. O Lord, there are those lands where there is such bitter hatred of thy name, that anyone found so much as privately professing thy name would be killed. O Lord, do help thy people in the midst of such terrible persecution and suffering. Thou wouldst be very near unto those that are imprisoned for thy name's sake, and those that have not thy word, that are in such poverty, have no means of obtaining thy word themselves. Oh, we do pray that as the word goes forth, even from this land, that it may reach thy seeking, praying people. Now it could be thy will that it might reach those that are in darkness, that as yet know thee not. But alas, in our own land, in our own hearts, our own homes, oh, how there are so many Bibles, yet do we esteem it truly a great privilege, a precious book, thy word, O Lord. Have we grown careless, indifferent? Alas, we must confess it is true. Oh, that there may be that thirst once more for thy word, that feeding upon thee by living faith, that prayer that thou mightest reveal thyself unto us. Thou wouldst speak the word only, and we shall be made perfectly whole. O Lord, then do appear for us, we pray. Look in mercy upon us in the nation. And O Lord, do deliver us, we pray, out of the hands of those that would take our liberties from us. But O Lord, if it is thy will, thy sovereign judgment upon us, that we must suffer persecution. And who knows how close such days are. O Lord, may we be upheld and kept, that we may be kept faithful. And now we do pray for thy help and thy mercy. Oh, that thou wouldst be pleased to grant that those words that we hope, looking unto thee, to set before the people may be blessed, that thy word may come with power and the anointing of the Spirit. We cannot plead anything of ourselves, but plead the precious name of Jesus and his shed blood. We ask in his name. Amen.
Hymn 987. Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the gospel found, suited to every sinner's case who knows the joyful sound. Hymn 987.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us to consider this evening 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 26. Concerning the molten sea in the temple. And it was an handbreadth thick, and the brim thereof was wrought like the brim of a cup, with flowers of lilies. It contained 200 baths. This morning we venture to speak from the 21st and 22nd verses of this chapter, particularly concerning the pillars that stood in the house of the Lord that set forth in type our Lord Jesus Christ, in his strength, in his uprightness, there set before the people. And there at the top of the pillars was lily work, representing the sacred humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ and his obedience, his gentleness, his fragrance in the sight of God the Father. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. There, as we venture to speak and to bid poor sinners this morning to look up and live, to behold upon the top of the pillar, the lily work, that glorious, gentle, loving work of our Lord Jesus Christ to redeem poor sinners. No, may we be supported, as it were, for that is what a pillar is to do. That is what the Lord has ordained in God's sovereign mercies, that we, those of the Lord's people saved by sovereign grace, should be supported, raised up, lifted up by the precious work of our Lord Jesus Christ, wrought out in his sacred humanity, his precious obedience to the law, his shed blood upon the cross, and that he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, there to intercede on the right hand of the Father. But we also consider the pillar, the children of Israel, how they were led, infallibly led, by that cloudy, fiery pillar that was there above the tabernacle, that led them into the promised land. And may the Lord be pleased to lead each one of us, even this night, into the truth, as the truth is in Jesus. And thus may we further consider those types that are set forth in Scripture concerning the temple of the Lord. For indeed, these details are given in Holy Scripture for our instruction. All Scripture is profitable. There is not one unnecessary word. There is not one word missing from the pure Word of God. It is complete, it is finished. Oh, that we had more grace to understand the Scriptures. And should that not be our desire, our prayer, in our private meditations, in our public gatherings, that the Lord may shed more light upon the Word of God, that we may see wondrous things in God's law. As they point to Christ, the sacrifices of the law, we read in the book, in the Epistle to Hebrews, the shadow of good things to come. Now let us, seeking the Lord's help, consider the sea, the molten sea, that was there in the temple, there commanded to be built, to be made. Like as we observed this morning, Solomon was instructed of God how every detail should be, like Moses was. All must be done according to the heavenly pattern. For these things represent that which is heavenly. Thus it points, these things point to the glory of God, to Christ Jesus and his work of salvation. The sea, we observed this morning, a little concerning the sea. The sea, how immense. We consider the seas here, how immense they are. Now, if we go beside the sea, there is often that disturbance, storm. It is unsettled. But here in the house of God, there is peace. Peace, perfect peace. On this sea, here in the house of God, there's no wind to disturb, no waves, but peace. That's why we read from Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And truly, here there are the still waters. There in the very house of God. There before the altar. There where an acceptable sacrifice is offered up. There in the place of holiness. Oh, how precious it is to be led by God. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, may the fiery, cloudy pillar lead us to the still waters, to come into the presence of Almighty God, there to see the immense love of God, the peace which passeth all understanding. We have represented, recorded in Scripture, of those who had that vision of God sat upon a throne. Beneath was that sea of glass, sapphire. There it represents that perfect peace. And did not our Lord, when he walked upon the waters, he didn't sink. Amidst the waves, the storms, when he spoke, there was a calm. No, may we venture into the Lord's house, to come unto the still waters. Oh, it was an encouragement to us with a hymn that we've just sung, that a friend should choose this concerning the spring of living waters. This spring with living waters flows, and living joy imparts. Come thirsty souls, your want disclose, and drink with thankful hearts. And who can measure the immensity of the love of God, the expanse of those living waters? In the temple we have the dimensions of the sea, and in that sense, it was relatively small. And a natural eye might have looked at it and said, well, there's not much. Have we come into the house of God this night and seen, read Psalm 23? Heard it many times, read it many times, it's not much. See nothing in the Lord. See nothing in the love of God. See so little in the things of God. Have so little, if any, desire after Christ. Oh, that we may look upon these things, these precious things by faith. And see, as we look at the Word of God, more than just paper and ink, just a book. Yes, it is a book, a divine book. One that is inspired by Almighty God, God the Holy Spirit, that speaks from Genesis to Revelation of Christ, the living Word, the Word made flesh, that dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Or as we come into the house of God, may we not look, as it were, at this sea with carnal eyes, and think, what a small thing, how insignificant, in comparison with those seas that we might see with the natural eyes outside. Or may we look by faith and see set forth here the immense, immeasurable love of God, the peace which passeth all understanding, the sweetness of the living waters. This we know as we sang. It is the thirsty who see these things, who desire these things. To sinners poor like me and you, he says he'll freely give. Come thirsty souls and prove it true. Drink, forever live. Or may we come unto the waters. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Oh, that we may drink. And it is free. Free and sovereign grace. We do not have to bring money. Do not have to bring our own abilities, our own righteousnesses. Or we have rather only sins and blots, abominations in the flesh and the spirit, utterly ruined. We cannot bring anything before the Lord of ourselves but sin. But oh, how immense is the love of God, that water in the temple was for washing. We read elsewhere of the lavers, that is for washing. There was that great supply of water for washing, for cleansing. It was commanded according to the law that there should be that cleansing with the water. But these things point to the precious cleansing, those living waters that flowed from Christ. Oh, we have beautifully set forth, and how solemnly, the piercing of the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. There, as it were, those waters flowed. We have here describing the sea. It was an handbreadth thick, and the brim thereof was wrought like the brim of a cup with flowers of lilies. As it were, that brim, that which contained it, was of lily work like the pillar, speaking of the sacred humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, as our Lord Jesus Christ was pierced, as he hung upon his body hung upon the cross, forthwith, immediately, there flowed the water and the blood. Oh, do we desire to come? Are we thirsty? What think ye of Christ? Oh, the waters are truly sweet. They're pure. As we read in the Psalm 46, our God is a refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. What a trouble it is to be thirsty. We don't just mean, as we commonly say, I'm thirsty, after a few hours without a drink. But if it was a few days, in the scorching heat, then the water would be precious. Then there would be a longing and a needing to come to the waters. Oh, it would be a mercy if we have not known that raging thirst, that we're always in comforts here below, always well satisfied with the things of this life, always seeming to drink to the full of the iniquity and vanities of this life, to be brought to the place of thirst, of want, to know that that it's a polluted stream, it's poisoned, the end thereof is death. Oh, how we need that healing of the waters. Be mercy if we saw that it is polluted, poisoned, deadly. But that we might thirst for the living God, for the living waters that came from the riven side of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his suffering upon the cross. There flowed those living waters, flow that blood to atone, water to cleanse. There was the fulfillment of the rites concerning the leper, for the healing of the leper, and the rites concerning the cleansing of the leper, and leprosy of the house. There must be the shedding of blood over running water. There must be the water and the blood that flows. And it must be applied. And how much those lepers that truly know themselves to be lepers, desire to be cleansed, would long to be here at the healing waters. For the Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He welcomed the lepers that came unto him, though he is so clean, so pure, so holy, lily of the valley, so pure, yet by his shed blood, as the rose of Sharon, there those poor lepers that come unto him are already cleansed. Though they may not feel it as they come, yet in the eternal purposes of God, in the covenant of grace, they are clean. Thus they are welcome unto him. As the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Are you a poor leper? Or do you think you're still clean? Think you can still partake of the forbidden fruits of this world? Drink of the polluted streams thereof? There's many that think they can play with fire and not be burnt. Multitudes of it. Multitudes in this life think they can take all manner of evil practices into their bosom and not be burnt. Oh, that the Lord may open our eyes to truly thirst after Christ, after his healing, after those healing waters that flow from his riven side. That we may look by precious faith. Oh, that precious promise, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. That is a precious promise. And the word of God is sure. It's a rock. It's that which we can build upon. Oh, may we come. Venture unto him. May we behold the lily work on the brim on the sides as we come there to behold the precious obedience of Christ, his fragrance, his gentleness, his kindness, his love. And the house, the cleansing of the house. How needful. Except there be that knowledge, saving knowledge of the blood of Christ. And those living waters that flow. Oh, there can be no cleansing of the house. Oh, we need that precious blessing both individually and as churches. Oh, that we may be a living church, not a dead one, lukewarm one. Oh, that should be our desire, that we may come collectively as a church, not just as individuals, to the living waters. Let us consider further the sea. It was a handbreadth thick. As we observe, there is not one word of Scripture that is unnecessary. It is all for our instruction, and we think the handbreadth. We think there of the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how he took the children up in his arms, held them in his hand. How he cared for them, blessed them. How he took hold of Peter, who was sinking upon the Sea of Galilee. Saved him with that outstretched hand. How he touched the leper. How he broke the bread of life. He broke the bread to the 4,000 and the 5,000, and they were all filled. What kindness, what love was demonstrated by those precious hands. Yet those hands were nailed to the cross. Those hands that did such good, nailed to the cross. And there from his pierced hands and feet and side there flowed the blood. And from his side the water and the blood. Oh, may we see there in the dying love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love that saves poor sinners, the love, that constraining love of God the Son that came. We read in prophecy, I delight to do thy will, O my God. The joy that was set before him, despising the shame. Oh, what love we see there upon the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die. He who is the lily of the valley, so pure, so holy, so beautiful, although to natural eye, a root out of dry ground, visage marred more than any man. But to the eye of faith, what beauty. The lily of the valley, what humility. He humbled himself, came obedient unto the cross, made himself of no reputation. He took the lowest place, those hands that washed the feet of his disciples before he was crucified. How that act of washing their feet was the act of the most menial servant in those days, the lowest of the low. Yet he took that place, and with his hands he washed the feet of his disciples in pure love. And those hands were nailed to the cross, and he submitted to his hands being nailed there out of love. We read of his people being graven on the palms of his hands. And he said after his resurrection from the dead, behold my hands and my feet. There were those signs of his dying love. Yet he yet liveth, yet alive. He ever liveth to make intercession. Because I live, ye shall live also. Wasn't handbreadth thick. Oh, those hands, it is the hand of our Lord. May we remember this, which as it were holds the blessings, the peace and tranquility. And it is his disposing, his hand. Salvation is of the Lord. It is of the Lord's sovereign purposes that poor sinners are called and are led to the water, that are given that appetite and thirst to drink. It is not for us or the minister to presume who. It is for the minister to proclaim the word of God, to preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For this we know, that it is of the Lord that any are saved. It's not of the minister, it is of the Lord. It is the hand of the Lord. that, as it were, holds these still waters. It is the Lord that leads. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It was a handbreadth thick. Oh, may we wait upon the Lord if we are thirsting for him. May we yet look unto him. Come unto him in prayer, in supplication. Seek unto his precious word, to his house. And the Lord truly will open up the living waters, open up the waters. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, not might, shall. The Lord's hand is mighty to save. It is not weak. It is not uncertain. It is not hesitant or trembling. It is steady and firm. Like this molten sea, it was firm. We were even talking of these things in the interval. Briefly, but it struck so much in one's heart concerning the love of our Lord Jesus. It was firm and kind. We were talking about teachers and how that teaching of the children, there must be that firmness, yet kindness. How much so more there is our Lord Jesus Christ, as that firmness. That sea wasn't, as it were, flexible. Wouldn't bend. Yet what love there was there. That edge that contained the waters. It was of brass, firm, hard, secure, solid. Like the pillar. The pillar that is flexible and bends would never support anything. We need to be built, to be supported by the rock. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Not an uncertain saviour. It's a glorious certainty in salvation in Christ Jesus, who is the rock. So these the waters of life, these waters, these still waters are held firmly, securely. Yet as we see that wrought like the brim of a cup with flowers of lilies, there's in that handbreadth, those lilies set forth the flowers of the lily. There that love, it's a loving hand, it's a firm but loving hand. It will not bend because it is fulfilling the eternal purposes of a triune God. And this we know. Everyone that comes unto him by precious faith, it is drawn by precious faith. All things work together for good. To them that love God and are called according to his purposes. If God be for us, who can be against us? May we not fight against his firm hand. For it is even if it is in chastening. And who would use a rod to chasten that was not firm? That was not hard. But the Lord, he chastens in love. Are we seeking, as it were, to bend his word to our will? To, as it were, beseech him to give permission for that which we have sought to work out, that which we have planned, that which we have hoped for? Or may we bow to his sovereign hand, his royal majesty, he who has the right to rule, but who rules in love and in mercy. Oh, may we look at these things, as we observed this morning concerning these pillars in the porch. It was in the entrance to where the altar was, for those that came to the sacrifice may behold upon the pillars the lily work. There may we behold the loving, tender kindness, beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ in sacred humanity. Yet he is the rock. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. His will is ever best. May we not fight against him. May we come. May we desire to be led by the Good Shepherd. And it was an handbreadth thick, and the brim thereof was wrought like the brim of a cup. The brim. Oh, we think of that sea filled to the brim. Oh, how beautiful it is. There's no lack there. There's no shortage, no deficiency, no lack in any way of the love of God to his people. It shall not run dry. Those precious supplies that come from Jesus, from the rock that was smitten in the wilderness. There was every stream that the children of Israel needed. When they came to Marah and they could not drink of the waters, for they were bitter. When that tree that Moses was shown was cast into the waters, there a type of Christ upon the cross. And the children of Israel beheld the tree cast into the waters. Then they were made sweet. Then they could drink and be satisfied. Or may we behold by precious faith Christ upon the cross. It is only in the Spirit that we may behold this, because our Lord Jesus Christ, he was once offered. And he is eternally in glory now, not suffering, but in the Spirit. The Apostle John, when he was in the Spirit, he beheld the Lamb as it had been slain. As it were, that sight that he had some 60 years before, 60, 70 years perhaps, of the Lord Jesus Christ, his side pierced, the water and the blood that flowed. Only seen once that day in his natural eye, for our Lord Jesus Christ was once offered, but in the Spirit. The Spirit brought back to his soul and his spirit, to his heart and understanding, those precious truths of that day, the Lamb that was slain. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. There in the Spirit, these things, as it were seen afresh. And it is only in the Spirit that we may behold the precious blood of Christ, the water and the blood that flowed. Oh, that we may behold these things and live. How immense the love of God, as it were filled to the brim. The brim of a cup. We think of that cup that our Lord Jesus Christ took. Cup of the wrath of God. And he drank it all. We think of that at the Lord's table, where those of us that partake of his ordinance, we take but a sip of that cup, that wine. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he drank it all. All that cup. He was obedient even unto death. When in the Garden of Gethsemane, there, pressed down under such a load, horrified in his sacred humanity at such a sight. He who is the lily of the valley, so pure, so holy, so undefiled. There before him that cup, the wrath of God, on account of the sins, innumerable sins, of his people. Yet he was obedient. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There was that glorious obedience, that glorious righteousness. But how we have in hymn writer Joseph Hart, in that hymn concerning Gethsemane, there we have described in poetry concerning the sins. Sins against a holy God, sins against his righteous law, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane, but this sea, the sea of the love of God, is greater. So much greater than our sin. Our sins are as immense as the sea. We cannot number them. We, as it were, stand on the brink of the sea and look out at all our sins and cannot fathom them all. We see the top of them, but cannot see what's there lurking beneath. We might see a little of it like we do by the seashore and see a little of the rocks underneath, but we know there must be an immensity out there, an ocean of it. Yet how much greater the love of God in Christ Jesus. How beautiful, how pure the love of God, that so immense, more immense than anything that we can comprehend, but yet by faith we receive, is far greater than the immensity of our own sin. Oh, how precious the love of God. We consider that stream. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle, tabernacles of the Most High. And we turn to Ezekiel 47, that well-known passage concerning the waters that flowed from the temple. That was a temple that was revealed to Ezekiel in Babylonish captivity. The temple of built by Solomon, the sea and all the instruments thereof broken up, destroyed. Anything that could be carried was carried into captivity with the remnant of the Jews. There we see that if we only hold to the form, the outward form, it is nothing. If we only hold to the outward form of worship here, it is nothing. If we only hold the outward form of reading the Bible, it is nothing. Although these blessings that are described here in setting forth Christ in the types of the pillars, the sea, the gold that covered the Ark of the Testimony, the mercy seat, all these things, they were all carried into captivity. They meant nothing, as it were, on that day that Nebuchadnezzar's army broke into Jerusalem. For the Jews had rebelled against God. They had turned their backs upon him. They had beheld these things many times and had yet turned to their idols. And how is it with us? So we come to the house of God, come to the Bible, read it, turn away and then behold our idols again, and think it is nothing. Or think surely the Lord will save us. So many of those Jews, although they were following after idols, they thought somehow that the Lord would still defend them, defend that holy place. It was but a mere superstition. Like people today, they will hold fast in trouble to a crucifix, but it won't save them. No more than Hophni and Phinehas and those that were with him when they took out the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines. It wouldn't save them. Superstition will not save us in that great day. We need to partake of the living waters. We need to come seeking the Lord with a whole heart. We're to come and partake of these living waters. The Lord is not pleased with half-hearted believers. For indeed, a half-hearted believer is not a true believer at all. But alas, we fall a prey, those of us who have tasted of the waters. Alas, we turn away, we backslide, and thus the Lord comes with the rod. That firm hand is upon us, but is to bring us back, that we may be seeking with a whole heart. Is that not the case when we have gone after our idols and the Lord chastens us and we are brought into deep trouble and distress? Then we're back seeking the Lord with a whole heart, a broken heart, not a divided one. Partial service is his loathing. He requires pure desires, all the heart or nothing. A form of religion coming to the strict Baptist chapel at Swavesey or anywhere else will not save you if you just sat in a pew, just picking up the scriptures with the hand, and it must be that spiritual feeding by faith upon Christ. Not just a coming to the place of worship, but a coming to feed on him, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Again, that temple that Ezekiel had that vision of, that was promised, that was yet to be built, and was built under the gracious hand of God by his servant Zerubbabel. That temple, the days of our Lord, yet stood, and the Lord stood in the midst. But he prophesied that not many years would pass by, and there would be not one stone left upon another. And there, instead of idolatry, the Jews had fallen prey to Phariseeism, a strict form of religion, strict to the very letter, but no love, no love in the heart. And did that save them against the armies of the Romans? Did the temple stand then? Or may that be a warning to us. We may look back to our church heritage. That Lord, when we must, yes, we should look back with thankfulness to the heritage, the spiritual heritage that the Lord has been favoured to give us. But unless we partake of it ourselves, partake of Christ ourselves, it will not do us any good on that great day. In that day of shaking, in that day of trouble and tribulation, the day of judgment, will not do for us to say, well, I went to a strict Baptist chapel. Will not do to say, well, we have Philpott and Gadsby in our bookcase, or even to have read the books. But unless we partake of the living waters like they did, partake of the living bread like they proclaimed, unless we come to the house of God and drink of the living waters, it will do us no good on that day. No matter what our name is, no matter what our knowledge in the head of the scriptures are, no matter how particular we are in dress, behaviour or anything else. Oh, that we may come broken-hearted to the living waters, thirsty. To this one will I look, he that is of a contrite spirit, poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word. But oh, how beautiful it is that it is to the poor, the thirsty, the needy, the weary, that the promises are given. Those that are poor, vile sinners that come seeking their welcome, welcome at his throne, welcome to the waters. The proud, the Pharisees, did them no good at all. Oh, they only saw the temple and trusted in these stones, trusted in the fact that there was such a spiritual heritage, that it was the house of the Lord. Oh, may we be delivered from that snare of Phariseeism, trusting in who we are, our genealogy, our background, or anything else, but in Christ. For the Pharisees, they rejected the Lord himself when he came. Let us return to the temple and that which Ezekiel had that glorious vision of. There were those waters that flowed. The Lord brought him to the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. The forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Those waters, they came, they issued forth from beneath the altar, the place of sacrifice, and they gave life. And when Ezekiel was asked to go into the waters, the river first, it was a river, the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Against he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. But he didn't sink in it. There may be many waters, floods perhaps, that we feel, storms upon the waters. We feel as if we shall sink. But if they're in the hand of God, we shall not. They're given in love and in mercy. Ezekiel didn't sink in those waters. He was lifted up by them. And so it will be. For the Lord will bear up his people, lest they sink, by his glorious love, his glorious mercy. The waters had that glorious power because they issued, as we read, from out of the sanctuary, the place set apart, the place of holiness, the place of purity, the place where the sacrifice was made. Oh, may we seek unto the Lord, to come unto him, pleading the precious name of Christ, from whose belly flowed living waters. Oh, how those precious waters flowed. May we come and drink. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £585, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening and Mr. Crowther next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 557. How sweet and precious is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, to sinners in distress. A name just suited to their case, pregnant with mercy, truth and grace, with strength and righteousness. Hymn 557.
do look in mercy upon us. Do forgive that which has been amiss, but, O Lord, bless thine own word. Do now take us to our homes in peace and safety. And, O Lord, we do thank thee for thy many mercies. Great is thy faithfulness. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.